The virus is spreading like crazy in Wisconsin, but thousands of people are sending out resumes, pinging their contacts, trying to land something in their field after an unexpected pandemic layoff. We're looking for job hunting advice here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The unemployment rate edged down in September in Wisconsin, but the Center on Wisconsin Strategy at UW-Madison calls job growth here both insufficient and fragile. Are you working job leads? How is it going? Are you getting callbacks and interviews? We're at 800-642-1234. Mari K. Dombosny is CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board, which helps connect workers to employers and training programs. Mari, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Susan Kane is here as well, Vice President of Talent and Industry Partnerships for the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Susan, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Susan, let's start with you. So many people out of work looking for work. What are you advising people in the Milwaukee area as they start a job search?
Yes, so in the Milwaukee region, we shed about 111,000 jobs at the height of the recession. And we've only recovered about half to date. So that leaves about 64,000 people still unemployed in the region. Unemployment varies widely across sectors. So it could be 3% in one sector, whether healthcare occupations or frontline workers. And it could range all the way up to 13-15% in other sectors. So I guess my advice would be to look at how consumer behavior, consumer demand is driving the prospects for different industries. People are spending much more time at home. We've used the word cocooning to describe that. We're spending money to improve our homes and yards, do-it-yourself projects. The sales of flour and other baking staples are way up. On the other hand, we're out less in public. We don't buy as many cosmetics or that new pair of shoes. So that's bad news for Kohl's, who employs thousands in our area in Southeast Wisconsin. But we're seeing hiring spikes in grocery, warehousing. And as e-commerce provides a safer alternative to being out in public, we're seeing hiring spikes in grocery, shipping, logistics, transportation, things like that.
Mari, your organization works in the northwestern reaches of the state. What is the situation like there on the ground for a job search? What are you seeing out of companies?
Sure. So being in the northern part of the state, our economy tends to lend itself more towards accommodation, food service, accommodating our southern neighbors down by Susan. And so for us, it's a little bit different because we actually saw a surge in some of our tourist activity as folks were looking for activities or geographic regions that lend themselves to social distancing, which certainly in our part of the state, those are in abundance. So for us, we tend to see a seasonal shift no matter what. So we see a lot of seasonal jobs in the summer, and then we see the fall, they tend to fall off, and individuals going on seasonal unemployment. And then they tend to pick back up as we see the snow start to fly and the winter sports come into prevalence. And so for us, right now, we actually are in sort of that down season where we're between the colors from the autumn and yet the snow hasn't yet flown. So we're seeing a lot of our seasonal workers unemployed, and then that's layered on top of those who are unemployed due to the pandemic. And so the job search has been a little bit more difficult. There are certainly jobs. I don't want to say that there's not jobs to be had, but a lot of the jobs that are currently out there tend to be in that sort of high contact service oriented industries. And so those who are looking for work right now are seeing a lot of jobs that are more on the lower end of the wage spectrum and a little bit more high contact. So that definitely has an influence as to how people are looking and applying, depending on how they feel about everything right now in the economy and their health. And so it's a different sort of job search this year than what we normally see. But I will say the job centers are open by appointment only. But they are open and there's a lot of online resources, but we're not seeing the traffic that we had anticipated that we would for assistance in finding employment.
Wow. Mari K. Nabosny is with us, CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane is here, Vice President of Talent and Industry Partnerships with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We're looking at job prospects in Wisconsin and what the job search is like amid COVID. Are you looking right now? What are you seeing out there? Have you found a job in your field? Have you given up on finding a job right now? What is that like to survive in these times? Join in at 800-642-1234. It's interesting, Mari, that you say that job seekers are not reaching out right now and asking for assistance on their job hunts. What might be going on there?
You know, I wish that I could put my finger on exactly what it is. We had expected that when the additional unemployment payments had run out at the end of July, that we would see an influx of individuals who are looking to have assistance finding employment. And we just didn't see it. And that was sort of the first indication that this was going to be different than what we thought it was probably going to be. So comparatively, like Susan gave you her, you know, numbers in terms of what they lost. Obviously, we're much smaller, but we lost about 5,000 jobs, or 5,000 individuals, excuse me, out of the labor force from September of 19 to 20. We know that there's a lot of families that are trying to balance in the childcare and the school closures. And so we, you know, sort of anecdotally know that there's individuals that are out of the labor force due to just, it's a little bit easier for them to just stay home than it is to try to go to a low wage position and find childcare. So we're not sure exactly what it is, but there's certainly just an abundance of resources right now for job seekers that are out there that we would, you know, love to connect people to.
Susan, are you connecting people to resources? Are job seekers reaching out where you are? What are you seeing?
Sure. I'd like to underscore to what Mari said about the uncertainty around childcare and in-person instruction for school-age children this fall has had a huge impact on the labor force participation. Four times more women than men dropped out of the labor force in September when we discovered whether or not students would be going back to school in person. And one out of four women who became unemployed during the pandemic reported that the job loss was because of a lack of childcare. And that was twice the rate of men when surveyed. So this, you know, the impacts of the recession are hitting women in greater numbers. One solution, which is pretty obvious, is freelance work, where you can set your own hours and work on a project basis. A great solution for females disenfranchised from the workforce because of responsibilities at home. There's a startup company in Milwaukee called Talimer, which is addressing some of the downsides of freelance work. Traditionally, you know, you didn't want to do that because you had to have employer-paid health benefits, or you didn't want to have to hustle for your next gig, you know, while you were still working on this one project. So Talimer is trying to address some of those issues by providing health and retirement benefits if you work 30 hours or more through their platform. And they work on the platform to provide that next project, that next gig for you. Their sales team works on doing that for you so that you can focus on the project-based work. That's just one solution that I think, you know, might not occur to everybody and is coming to the market to respond to these issues.
Susan Kane, Vice President of Talent and Industry Partnerships at the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We also have Mari K. Nabosny, who heads up the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. We're learning how to search for work amid the pandemic and wondering how it's going for you. Are you an employer who desperately needs workers? How have you managed? What can you tell job seekers? Are you training up workers in your field? How is that going? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what it's like to look for work in Wisconsin, getting tips on the job hunt here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the latest Labor Department report, for every job opening, there's close to two unemployed people. It's nowhere near pre-pandemic levels. Are you mid-career, late-career, wondering how to make your application stand out? How do you stay persistent and patient and deal with rejection? What do you want to know about hiring in your community? Join in 800-642-1234. Your questions, your situation. Susan Kane is with Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Mari K. Nabosny leads the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board, and they stay with us for the hour. Let's bring in Tim in Green Bay with a question. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't speak specifically for Northwest Wisconsin or Southeast Wisconsin, but I can say that in the Northeast Wisconsin sector, employers are begging for employees. They're providing bonuses, there's health insurance, there's 401k matches, there's all the traditional things, and most of these don't require any post-secondary school. A high school graduate can come in, work in the manufacturing sector with no background in it, and earn a living. And I think I'm perplexed as to why it's so difficult to find employees, and employers are also baffled by it. That's my comment.
Tim, thank you for that and weighing in from the Green Bay area. Manufacturing there, Susan, you know, that is a profession that Tim says companies are really begging for workers. What do you see?
Right. And I don't know that people always think about which skills are transferable or what opportunities they may have in industry they've never considered before. There are certainly, manufacturing is a key employment sector in Southeast Wisconsin. And yes, you've heard about individual employers having layoffs, but there are others really hiring in high volumes. For example, Guy and O'Neill, a company in Ozaukee County, they manufacture disinfecting wipes. They found themselves in the middle of a nationwide shortage, and they had to ramp up production. So they started offering shift bonuses, hiring bonuses, and other incentives to attract applicants. Another industry that is aggressively searching for new candidates is healthcare and healthcare support occupations. And in many cases, employers, employer groups, or technical colleges, workforce development boards will pay individuals for the retraining, the reskilling that's necessary to go into an adjacent industry. There's a group called the Center for the Healthcare Careers of Southeast Wisconsin, which is a collaborative of the four large hospital systems in the Milwaukee area. They're launching a paid accelerated program that trains medical assistants in 14 weeks. So you could come in with zero experience in the healthcare field, and in 14 weeks, you're ready to take your exam to become a medical assistant. The best part of it is the training's free, and you're hired before you start the training. So you're paid for 40 hours a week to attend class for the duration of the program, and then you move directly into a position upon completion of that exam.
Mari, have you looked at how people are making the leap? If they've never worked in healthcare or never worked in manufacturing, can they make that leap?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that's important to note, and I think Susan had a great point in terms of people don't always think about career transitions and where the transferable skills may lie. There's a lot of tools out there. I'm just going to highlight one just because it's sort of the new one on the market, and it's very user-friendly, but LinkedIn just came out with a career transitions tool. And so you can go in and put your skill sets in, and it will sort of crosswalk you. There's other systems like that through the Department of Labor and others that will help you figure out where your transferable skills are to other careers. So I just wanted to note that because I think it's good sometimes to go in and really think about what your skill set is and where it could really benefit employers and other industries. In terms of that piece of just where to start when you're starting new. So, you know, as Susan mentioned, there are just so many resources right now. And because we're not seeing people coming through and really asking for help, there's probably even more than what there may typically be in terms of there's federal dollars that can assist with retraining, and so that it can help individuals start on their career path. We've seen employers be incredibly flexible about their entry-level positions, and even coming up with creative ways to have those entry-level points. Like Susan was talking about medical assistants. We're seeing registered apprenticeships and medical assistants in the state. And so that's, again, the same similar model where they're working and learning at the same time. So they're able to bring income in while they're learning and starting to enter into these different career paths. And I think that's a key piece of it, is sometimes, you know, when we look at when we train individuals, making sure that they can still sustain, especially for adults who are maybe in middle career changes, that they can continue to make money while they're learning, because otherwise it's very, very challenging, especially if you're in a single income household, to, you know, go down to no income. And then how do you even begin to do that? So, but there are resources that are out there that can really help people do that.
Such a risk. Mari K. Nabosny there, CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane is here, Vice President of Talent at the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We're looking at the pandemic era job search, what you're facing here in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Elizabeth in Milwaukee with perspective on this. Elizabeth, what are you finding?
I'm finding that excuse me, everything is online that opens the door for scammers. And as a result, I had to change my email address and my phone number because of that fact. I finally did get through to one job that did find me acceptable. Most jobs that I was looking for, when I disclosed that I have two master's degrees, they just shut the door on me. And so finally I found a job for $9.50 an hour, which I'm reconciling because I'd like to earn money to pay my bills. But the online situation is just miserable, as well as the training programs that are offered. The true jobs that I found available are in Amazon freight, and a lot of freight jobs, heavy lifting, a lot of strength in the body, ability to stand for a long period of time and work fast. I did find a cashier job that is more amenable to my physique, but it's rough out there. There's so many scammers.
And I want Susan to jump in here. As you apply online, what should you be aware of?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, as we don't have the normal verification procedures in place due to COVID and not being able to do in-person interviews, you would expect to see scams and on the rise. So I'm going to sort of volley this back to Mari, because I think the caller could benefit from a call to or a visit to her local job center and talk to a career counselor, career coaches that are there to help her.
Mari?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So working within the workforce system in Wisconsin, within the job center system, would be, I think, critical for individuals who might be concerned about this, because they will be there to help you sort through what might be a scam and what might not be. I think probably the concept, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. We're seeing a lot of that, where it's, you know, work from home and make, you know, all this money. And so we do caution job seekers at that time to really proceed with caution if they're going to go down that road, and to ensure that it's a viable and legitimate employer. But I think one of the points that the caller made is key. And I think that also is, you know, looking at employers can really benefit from looking at their jobs. And sometimes we get stuck in a box, or we think that it has to be done a certain way. And so as we see older workers or individuals who might have, you know, some barriers in terms of physical responsibilities at work. If the employer looks at a job and thinks, you know, do you really need a full-time person 8 hours, or could you do 2 part-times at 4 hours? Because maybe you would be able to recruit from a different labor pool of experienced workers if you're able to change some of the job qualifications. Because sometimes older workers or other workers don't want to stand as long, or they can't lift as much, or they don't want to work as long. They're retired, but they'd like to keep a job. So I think there's some validity too for employers to take a look at that and see, and sort of get creative about where you're, what labor pools you're tapping, and maybe doing things a little bit differently.
And one other thing to note here, what about your credentials? Having 2 master's degrees, it seems Elizabeth says that was a strike against her.
Certainly, you would hope that that wouldn't be the case, but I think sometimes there is still that mindset that if an individual is overqualified or too qualified, that maybe they'll get bored at the job, or the retention rate will be low because they'll move on to something else. But I think that there's ways that can be, you know, you can work around that through, you know, introductory emails, cover letters, and on your resume about, you know, really what your goals are and what you're looking for. And you know, obviously, it's best if you can communicate as much as possible with an employer prior to that interview process.
Resumes, cover letters, and Mari K. Nabosny, CEO of Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane here as well with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We'll pick this up with you right after a news update. Stay with us for more on jobs here on the Ideas Network. We're learning how to job hunt during a pandemic and what hiring is like in different parts of Wisconsin. It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Competition is stiff. We're learning how to stand out in a crowd of resumes. The social network LinkedIn reported that people are coming to its platform in droves. Its head of product wrote in a blog post, I saw this late last month, that 3 people are getting hired on LinkedIn every minute. 3 people every minute. How are you using social networking sites to further your job search? What has helped you land a new job? 800-642-1234. Mari K. Nabosny is CEO of Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane here, Vice President of Talent at Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Let's bring in Suzelle from Wauwatosa with a question. Hi, Suzelle.
Hi there. My question has to do with a young friend of mine. He is in Milwaukee looking for any kind of job. He's in high school, and he's applying absolutely everywhere and just not having any success landing a job. Are there supports or advice, or what would you tell him? I keep sending him Indeed postings. He applies for absolutely everything.
So a high school student seeking, I would assume, a part-time job, Suzelle?
Part-time. And he has held jobs before, so yeah. He's not a brand-new job seeker.
Susan, any advice there?
Right. So it's not surprising. You know, the types of workers most affected by the COVID-related downturn are those at the, you know, the entry level, the bottom of the wage spectrum, servers, cooks, hotel, theater staff, retail clerks, etc. So it really wiped away a huge swath of those typical teenager, college student type jobs. And the last in, first out in our economy, if you will. Spot of advice I would give is to think about the Amazon jobs, the warehousing jobs that Elizabeth, our previous caller, mentioned that were maybe beyond her physical capabilities or preferences. We have in Southeast Wisconsin, which it sounds like the caller lives in, Amazon is building another warehouse in Oak Creek and about to open additional distribution centers. So I know they're looking for hundreds, if not thousands, of workers in those warehouses, stock clerks, order pickers, customer service reps. So I'd look a little farther afield outside of the establishments, restaurants and stores and retail establishments that are right in your own backyard.
Mari, any insights there on teenager and college student jobs in your part of the state?
Absolutely. So we are seeing, even prior to the pandemic, we were seeing record low levels of youth employment nationwide, not just in Northwest Wisconsin or even in Wisconsin, but we're just not seeing as many youth workers. And so we sort of identify that as that sort of, you know, 14 to 18. So, but we are seeing that here too. And we're seeing it for a lot of different reasons, of course, with parents wanting to protect children. They don't want them maybe in sort of the traditional high contact employment sites, fast food, you know, service, hospitality, all of those. But we do, you know, worry a little bit about some of these younger workers, because not only are they not out getting work experience and sort of developing that work ethic, but they're also not, in many cases in school, where they're getting sort of that career planning that they might be otherwise. And so they're doing a little bit virtually, but there's not the ability right now to do sort of the job shadowing and where you get to go in and really experience a career, whether it be through a technical college or through the employer itself. And so we are trying to work on a number of virtual programs to actually take drones into different manufacturing facilities and other facilities so we can do virtual tours, so that we can have high school students who can see what it might be like to work in that place. The other piece I want to mention too is, you know, if there's a young person out there that's really looking to make themselves stand out, and I don't know, you know, what this particular individual's skill set is or what their work experience is, but you know, anytime that you can keep building your resume or keep building your application, even with the free resources that are available currently online, if anything, the pandemic has brought companies out just in such a positive way of offering just so much in terms of free resources. Microsoft and GitHub partnered up. They have a whole free curriculum that you can take. LinkedIn has a bunch of different learning curriculums that are free. So anytime you can sort of keep your resume or keep your application fresh and sort of indicate that you're not just, you know, hanging out and waiting for a job, you're proactively keeping your skill set fresh and you're looking to build new skills, I think that can be extremely beneficial as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mari K. Nabosny, CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane here, Vice President of Talent and Industry Partnerships for the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We're looking at job prospects in Wisconsin, what the job search is like amid the pandemic, with your questions and your situations, what you've experienced. 800-642-1234. Danny is joining us from Racine. Danny, how Hi, what is your situation?
Hi, I was working in networking when I was younger. I got in an accident. I went back to school years later. Now I'm about to graduate, but I'm 37. I'm going into cybersecurity, but I have a huge, you know, blank of time where I didn't really have real work. I couldn't work. I was getting certificates and doing stuff like that to keep busy, but it's kind of just like a blank spot that I don't really know what to do with when I approach a new possible employer.
What do you do with big resume gaps, Mari?
So I think, again, and you're going to see resume gaps, and I think employers are going to have a different viewpoint on those right now. I think the best thing, Danny, that you can do is really try to explain in the best way that you've been out of the workforce, but you've been in training and that you've been working towards various credentials or certificates along the way. And that will help, you know, sort of, and depending too, I'm not sure how you're looking. So there's so many avenues right now. You've got your traditional cover letter resume, so you could explain it that way. But then you also have, you know, LinkedIn profiles and all of these other different places that you're going to want to maybe just identify in a way that indicates that you've been busy and that you've been working towards things. Knowing that you're going into cybersecurity, I think you're going to do very well, just based on the labor market data that we see even in Northwest Wisconsin, and I'm sure in Southern Wisconsin as well. But I do think there are things that you can do. If you're not sure, there are, again, you know, if you reach out to your local job center down there, there are individuals who will help you craft that language or give you, you know, sort of some ideas of what you can put in there. And that's what they're there for. And even if you just meet with them virtually via Zoom, you know, they'll coach you through that and help you.
You know, Susan, in the old days when people needed a job, they turned to the newspapers' classified ads. What are the avenues now, the best places for people to search for jobs?
Right. I would also advise Danny to look into local recruiting agencies. His skills in cybersecurity, if he has indeed attained credentials, are very marketable right now. But it's difficult for employers with numbers of openings to find the right people and to make those matches. So there are recruiters jumping into that space, and some specialize directly in digital technology roles and cybersecurity. So I would really advise Danny to investigate that, and really anyone with a specialized skill like that. There are also programs that help you attain new skills, but then assist you with placement on the other end, and actually provide employer and industry experts, professionals along the way in your training as sounding boards or mentors. One of them is IC Stars, which is a nonprofit digital technology training program that started in Chicago and recently launched in Milwaukee in the last couple of years. And that's exactly what they do, is they reskill folks for digital careers, but then they bring in industry mentors. They have virtual job shadows and you know, they call it high tea with industry professionals, where students learn about the careers and career pathways and their opportunities. And then they also have a bench of employers who are really happy with the training provided there and willing to hire graduates from that program. So I would investigate whether there are opportunities like that in Racine for Danny to connect to an agency that can help him with the training and with that placement end of it.
Yeah, so relationships really matter there to be able to find that job and maybe get a foot in the door. How should you go about that job search and seeking out the job descriptions and where those jobs are? Susan, can you feel
sorry
that?
About sorry. That?
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry about that. Sure. Sure. I would reiterate what Mari said about LinkedIn, about engaging with your local workforce system. The state Department of Workforce Development runs Job Center of Wisconsin, which is intended to be the clearinghouse of job orders for the entire state. I've heard people having good luck on Indeed.com. MilwaukeeJobs.com or WisconsinJobs.com has recently been rebranded as Circa, and they're doing a great job to not just post jobs and opportunities, but help individuals understand the skills that they may need or the few that they may have as a gap to be qualified for a particular role. And I think that's the next phase of career search, is identifying those gaps and then understanding where you can go quickly for training to fill those gaps in your resume.
Susan Kane, Vice President of Talent at Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We have Mari K. Nabosny, CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Two executives keeping a pulse on the workforce, what that job search is like, how it's progressing. With your insights, did you land an interview and then maybe you got ghosted, never heard back? What job search etiquette do you have questions about? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about a pandemic job search. We have a pair of workforce leaders in Milwaukee and Appleton with their take on job searches. Susan Kane is from the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Mari K. Nabosny leads the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Let's bring in Alan now, joining us from Chippewa Falls. Alan, what do you see out there?
Well, I just had a comment. With this COVID thing going on, we see a lot of people doing, you know, stuck at home. They're doing remodeling and a lot of projects. And I've had several contractors tell me they cannot find help. I've had HVAC guys and sheetrock people tell me that they'd hire somebody right out of high school with no skills, be willing to train them. All they need is an employee that's willing to show up to work every day. and they're willing to work with them and train them and teach them a new trade. Several different contractors have told me that they just cannot find quality help.
So we're hearing about shortages in the trades. Susan, is that what you're finding as well?
Absolutely. And the caller is right that the trades, the organizations that act as intermediaries will hire someone out of high school and actually begin training while in high school. There are many dual enrollment programs that offer technical college credits simultaneously as counting towards your high school graduation credits. That is ever growing in Southeast Wisconsin, I'm sure across the whole state as well. And they're finding that they have to start a lot earlier while students are still considering where they might want to go, because if you can get early and get start on those credits, you can really get going on that career pathway and have a direct hire opportunity right after graduation.
Yeah. Mari, anything to add there about the trades and not being able to find contractors?
No, I think that this is, it's a statewide, it's a problem. You know, I would echo too, if you can get students interested in the younger grades and get them into things like youth apprenticeship, which then can feed to either registered apprenticeship or just sort of a work while you learn model, it's a positive thing. But without having youth exposed to these careers and with them not really able to go out and sort of parents, you know, being afraid right now, we find ourselves in this perfect storm where there's not a whole lot coming through the pipeline to help the problem down the road. And then we have, you know, just the consistent problem of just having individuals who are either unable or unwilling to, you know, sort of work for that prevailing wage that we're seeing in some of it. And so how do we build that interest? And how do we communicate as employers or as in an industry to job seekers that come as you are, that we will help you, there can be assistance for training. And so maybe that's not always communicated either.
Ellen, thanks. Let's bring in Lynn in Green Bay. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question. Just wondering about what has been the trend for employers in terms of callbacks. I had applied for a job and got called back for a second and third interview, totaling for up to 3 hours worth of interviews, which I thought sounded pretty good. And then a month later, I still haven't heard anything back from them, whether it's they've hired somebody else for the position. And I'm just wondering what the protocol is if people are feeling the need to even give courtesy responses back, even generic emails or letters out, so that people kind of know the status.
Mari, stuck in limbo there, Lynn's saying, after hours of interviewing, not knowing the status of her application.
This is something that we hear a lot. And so I think, you know, job search etiquette falls both to the job seeker and to the employer both. And there, when you have a job market where it's a job seeker's market, not an employer's market right now, there's a lot of openings and job seekers can sort of pick and choose what they want to interview for. And I think it's on the employer to have better communication. We used to see that, you know, most employers will give you a very strict timeline in terms of what the next steps are at the conclusion of an interview. And that's sort of gone by the wayside. And I think it's on employers to come back to that. But as a job seeker, one, you know, tool that you have in your toolbox is you can reach out and, you know, to HR or to whoever you worked with on the interview process and say, you know, I'm still very interested in this position. I'm just checking in on the current status. You know, thanks so much. A nice short email. At that point, there's not much else that you can do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good to at least do that outreach. If you did not send a thank you note or a thank you message after the interview, sometimes it's good, you know, you can almost use that as well as, you know, thanks so much for the interview. I really enjoyed, you know, working with you and getting to talk about the position. Can we, you know, when do you think that you'll have some next steps, or, you know, something like that. So there are ways that the job seekers can reach out too. And I would encourage that, because otherwise you will sit in limbo for a long time. But we are hearing this more and more, that there's just not messaging coming from the employer back to the job seeker. And sometimes you can lose a really qualified candidate.
I would agree with Mari. And I would say that that employer must be in one of those industries that's experiencing 15% unemployment versus 3%, because that would not be happening in an industry where there is that, where it's a job seekers market. Employers are competing right now on differentiating themselves based on what's called candidate experience. That's what you're experiencing. And what you're actually experiencing is called ghosting, which typically happens when an HR team is buried under, you know, a large order to ramp up major headcount numbers, and they are working their way through without being able to attend to that candidate experience. But it will bite them in the end, because that all becomes part of your employer brand and how you are perceived in the marketplace, in that scarce job market.
Lynn, thank you, and hope it goes better. Michael now in Ashland. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on my experience as far as being a small business owner and being looking for, you know, other employment while trying to weather this pandemic. I would say that, you know, job hunting has always been a unilateral relationship, but a lot of businesses just aren't accustomed to getting back with people in the same measure that they need to right now to find qualified candidates. I'd also say a lot of, you know, a lot of the office staff has even been switching over through this pandemic and stuff. So they're getting new hires in, you know, they're not accustomed to you know, going through that whole hiring process with people. A lot of things are just really on the rocks right now, especially for smaller businesses. One good thing you can do, though, is to just do as much research on the company as you can before you walk in the door. You know, if you can know when they were in business, know about their products, their services, you know, vet some of the staff, do whatever research you can online. Just try to be as, you know, well prepared for the interview as you can be. And the whole comment about sending out thank you notes, emails afterwards, even if you just get a phone call with them, send them a thank you email, you know, just make sure you're constantly in their feed, you know, make sure that your name is always present at the top of their list as best as you can.
We're really short on time here, Michael, but I want Mari to certainly weigh in here. Michael's saying, do your homework and stay in front of them.
Well, hi, Michael, and from Ashland as well. And yes, absolutely. And I think that that's not new, right? That's not new to the pandemic. That's not new to the sort of shortages that we're seeing right now. That's sort of always been a proper etiquette thing for job seekers. And I think, you know, that's something that you're going to hear the minute you step into the job center and start to ask for some coaching, is that, yes, do your research, make sure that you know a little bit about the company. And then those thank yous, they do make a difference. And it's just a small token, but an employer wants to know that you are interested and that you're not just checking the boxes on a job search, you know, or something. They want to know that you want to be there and that you want to work there.
Well, Susan and Mari, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
It was wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Mari K. Nabosny, CEO of the Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board. Susan Kane, Vice President of Talent and Industry Partnerships with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. We started our interview, by the way, about healthcare systems in the Milwaukee area offering training for medical assistants. That was Ascension, Freighter, Children's, and Aurora. That vocational training info by way of Susan at Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. 1A is next. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.